tell you about a man that I have met. They call him Captain or Wizard, don't forget. CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show, so we did. Now you're listening to him on Bad Bangle Radio.
You know, a lot of people that just got a new house, their first house ever as a home buyer, probably wouldn't be excited about having an Airbnb next to them. And I almost agree. Almost. And I'll explain why. But down on the east side, I had some buddies that lived in a, you know, kind of like you, Matt. They bought a house a long time ago. The neighborhood became very popular, very gentrified. And these like weird postmodern, goofy-looking houses went up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
This is my old neighborhood.
Where everything
the block
looks,
houses, just like squares or cubes.
They're square cubes, but they look really new, and there's like two on one property, and they were all Airbnbs. But, I mean, they were right on like East Cesar Chavez, East 5th, 6th, like that whole area.
Also, well, the rest of the neighborhood looks weird because it's like a strange postmodern structure in the middle of normal housing.
Yeah, and there's like old fallen apart cemeteries and stuff out there. But the problem with all those being Airbnbs is people would come in, rent them, party all weekend, and then there were just scooters and trash everywhere. I live a little further from the action. I guess the Domain would be the closest party spot to where I live. But we got an Airbnb. It's got a giant pool right next to us. It's got a giant hot tub. Inside, there's all kinds of like neon signs that are like indulge. And there's like pool tables and foods. They have a scooter in the living room.
They got the Instagram angles. So you can take photos there too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Come on.
I kind of rolled my eyes at it. And it's very expensive. And it's empty a lot of the time. So it's kind of nice. It's almost like not having a neighbor.
Right.
But the house is like immaculately maintained. So it's kind of living on a corner, but I'm actually going to say I don't mind having it there for that reason. And as of now, congratulations to me in the battle against my fiance. There are now 3 bachelorette parties to 2 bachelor parties that have rented this property.
Yeah. I had a feeling that when you said I don't mind it because you said the pool and the hot tub, and I was like, oh, wait. Do you have, how's the eye line from your house and other young, like, co-eds renting this place out?
Yeah, what kind of binoculars you got?
And constantly.
I know you got a second floor so you can see over the fence in their yard, so.
It's worked out pretty well.
Have you gone out yet in like, in, like, a robe where you lean over the fence and, like, y'all ladies like music?
So the good thing is for both of us, because it can be annoying, like, there were, one of the bachelor parties, they were chipping golf balls and a few went into my yard. And they're like, oh, I'm really sorry, man. Can we get those back? And I looked at the dog, and the dog had destroyed him. I was like, no. You know?
What would you say? No?
I said, no. I said, oh, the dog's got him. No. and they're like, oh, my bad. All right. And then I heard him like kind of being like, dang. And I'm like, how much are golf balls that you're worried about it? But, you know, so there's a really high fence. But the problem is like the noise echoes off of our other neighbor's house. So it gets pretty loud. And you either hear like, yeah, dude, I totally would have hit that last night. Or you hear like, oh, my God, oh, my champagne. Like, so it's...
You're saying that that's what the bachelor party hears from you?
Pretty much, yeah. It's all that all night long. But it's kind of fun just to hear and like have like people partying and hanging out next to you. Because it feels like, oh, you know, you get new neighbors every week. It's fun when it's bachelorette parties. And again, I think because this is so far away from like 6th Street or the Domain or any party district, you're getting kind of older groups that also can afford this house. And every time I worry about this, I worry about the bars close at 2 a.m. They come back and like, let's get in the pool. Hasn't happened once. Knock on wood. There has not been a late night.
Okay.
Get in the pool. Like everyone's in bed at like 10 or 11, like
sick.
Before I am. So I've been lucky.
How long before you take a dip in that pool one late night when no one's actually occupying the building?
That's what I want to know myself.
I know you have your own
honestly
above ground pool, but you said there's a hot tub.
I looked for property on Swimply and I didn't see it rented out. Swimply's where you can rent a pool for a day.
Right.
And I know there have been groups that have only been there for a day. And I don't know if, like, the pool boy lets him in or if they're his friends. Because I thought he was a stripper for one of the bachelorette parties. But I was like, oh, that's the dude that's always there, like, maintaining stuff. But I've contacted the owner. Like, their fence blew down and I've helped him with some stuff. And I want to be like, hey, you're paying these guys to mow. There's no backyard. It's a pool. but they're paying a company that comes out there with a riding lawnmower to do no grass. So I'm like, man, I could mow their yard.
And then swim in their pool.
Yeah, just let me use the pool. Because it's empty during the week. Like I said, it's expensive. So it's only like for the weekends that people use it, and it's just going to get more expensive during the summer.
Okay, last question.
So let me mow, and I will swim in the pool.
You gain access to the pool. How long before you realize, oof, going all the way back to my house is a little far to go, just going to pee in this pool?
Well, I was thinking you're going to wonder until I built a hole fence.
Are you saying you've already peed in their pool?
Yeah, I climbed on my roof and shot into the pool from there. Coming up, we're going to discuss why today's one of the greatest days ever. As a matter of fact, every day has a reason it's great, but let's dip into a few other ones. National Pretzel Day is April 26th. Gentlemen, nice. Thoughts on pretzels? Nice. Ranch, mustard, or cheese?
I'm going to upset everybody out there. I do not like a pretzel.
Okay, that's fine with me.
What do pretzels do to you?
Yeah.
They bring me zero joy. I'm not a breadman.
When his mom got a divorce, she married a pretzel. That was his stepdad.
Oh.
So yes, just never got along.
That's actually, I didn't want to bring it up, but that's what happened.
So salty about it. I am a mustard man when it comes to pretzels.
I don't mind some mustard. I prefer cheese.
I like the cheese.
Surprising no one, I will eat cheese.
Depending on how good the cheese is at the establishment.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that's everywhere, but...
It is also National Help a Horse Day.
Woo!
And Spencer, I got a question. If our coworker Jack was helping you off a horse, would you help him?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know this Jack. He's not my friend.
How can you help a horse?
Last name is Meehoff.
that's a good one.
You like that?
It's also National South Dakota Day.
Woo!
And the only reason I brought this in is because I'm going to start watching Deadwood again. And I do declare that I shall impart upon myself to however it might be difficult to assume that I shall be watching that together with entwined of both of you. How they talk on Deadwood. I love
it. I've never seen it.
Dude, it's great. Matt, you started doing Western Wednesdays. I love Westerns. I can never get my fiance, my lover, to watch Westerns with me, but she's a huge Deadwood fan.
Do you want to come over and get in a bed with my wife and I and watch Westerns when we do Western Wednesday?
Yes, absolutely. Y'all started with the Dollars Trilogy, so I'm in.
Out of curiosity, who's in the middle?
You know what? I'm going to skip over why today's the greatest, and we'll come back and talk Western Wednesday on the CJ Morgan Show. It's Western Wednesday! That's right, today's the greatest because it's Western Wednesday, and I know what you're thinking. Hold on, don't change the station, you're thinking. That dang old CJ Morgan Show put on a rerun. They're trying to pull one over on me. Today's not Wednesday, it's Friday. Well, I just learned about Western Wednesday over at the Bearden House, and Matt, I'm going to be honest, today's the greatest because I'm excited about coming over wearing a cowboy hat. I'm buying a governor. Do you know what the governor is?
Like a gun?
It's a six shooter. It's a big one, too. Anyhow, I'm going to come over and watch Western Wednesday because I cannot get my lover to sit and watch these with me. And specifically, what got me excited is the other day I put on the Dollar Trilogy, which are three unconnected spaghetti Western movies starring Clint Eastwood. Yeah,
Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
And let me summarize each one.
Hell yeah.
Because they all impacted Westerns forever. They all have a classic scene that everyone knows. Fistful of Dollars has where he puts the oven, the iron.
Whoa. Spoiler alert. I'm going to watch these, man. You don't get to do that.
You've seen these.
I know. I literally haven't. I just saw it for the first time.
Well, these are things in classic history.
Look, man.
I'm literally getting up and walking out.
The thing in Back to the Future that McFly does is what Clint Eastwood did in this one.
There's a reference to it in The Ballad of Buster Scruggs as well.
For A Few Dollars More is the chime. I'm not spoiling it.
How are you not spoiling it if I'm asking you not to talk about it?
For A Few Dollars More is the chime. That doesn't spoil anything. And then The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the...
Look, man, I haven't seen them either. To be honest, I'm excited and I want to because I love spaghetti.
It's so bizarre to me that this took off because I was talking about it on the other show and I just said, my wife came up with this idea of Western Wednesday. She knows I like Westerns, and she was like, hey, every Wednesday, let's watch a Western.
Yeah, and who doesn't
want to watch it?
Alliteration.
And we brought it up, and the phones lit up, and then now you heard about it and want to talk about it?
I love Westerns, I love old ones, too.
The classic Western. There's the revisionist Westerns. There's
acid Westerns.
Yeah, yeah.
What I love about I've kind of had this weird, like, this is very pretentious and hipster thing, where I've gotten into the simplicity of old cinematography. And I'm not talking about Orson Welles and Alfred Hitchcock that did all the different things. I'm talking about the very simple simplicity of a beautiful, easy shot that the story tells itself. But in these, what I love about the Dollar trilogy is they would do this thing where you have a camera that's anamorphic. It shoots from this side of the room to this. It is a huge landscape sweeping shot. But you are so close on Matt's face that you just... And they, all these guys spoke Italian and they had to dub it, but they wasn't a lot of talk. It was a lot of slow, quiet moments of setting up shots.
Well, in Westerns, the landscape is almost its own character as well, which is kind
of
cool. So
and you know, they shot a lot of these actually spaghetti Westerns in Spain in a desert region that looks a lot like it would out in New Mexico, Arizona, Texas.
Okay, so Matt, what's up on the viewing?
Yeah, when can we come over? What are you watching next?
You guys are welcome to come over. I'm going to give you a guess. What day of the week does Western Wednesday take place on?
Well, today Thursday. We're talking about it on Friday.
Yeah. Thursday.
We watch the movies on Tuesday. I know, it's weird.
So you can talk about it Wednesday at least,
yeah,
right?
For some reason we decided, because my wife was like, hey, let's do Movie Monday and Western Wednesday. We're trying to entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've run out of, we can't go out drinking anymore. We have to find something else to do.
But
with
I'm
our
just
time.
Excited that you got her, that y'all are doing this together, your wife's picking him, because I've only got, like I mentioned earlier, Deadwood and then 310 to Yuma are the only Westerns that I can get my fiance. I can't get her into the old movies. I love the 40s, 50s, 60s classic Western movies, but I also thoroughly enjoy Unforgiven, the more modern ones.
You looking for how to get her involved in these?
Yes, how do I get her into Westerns?
Okay, this all started because my wife found out that Kurt Russell was in a Western, and this is what you need to do. You have to understand
No, you guys are going to watch
Bone. He was in the Shootout one.
Tomahawk.
Bone Tomahawk.
That's
exactly,
a horror Western.
Which is a horror Western that involves cannibalism.
Oh, man.
But here's what you got to do. You got to find out, who does your wife think is attractive and handsome?
Mm-hmm.
Your lover, in your case.
That's why she liked 310 to Yuma.
Yeah, well, then you suggest those movies, because my wife was like, oh, I didn't realize that these movies were filled with rugged, handsome men.
Yeah, Unforgiven is Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman.
That's such a good
one. That won't work.
That's going to be harder.
That is a good one. But what is the one where there's the gunslinger competition that's got Leo DiCaprio in it? That's very young.
Romeo and Juliet.
It's
you're thinking of Django Unchained?
No. That one is hard to watch.
Yeah. It's also 3 hours long.
Yeah. But hey, Western Wednesday. I'm excited. You said I can jump in the middle of bed.
What's the order going to be in the bed? Like, who's in the middle?
Me. I'm in the middle.
You know why that works?
Like, how would that
He's
make any sense?
Do you know
sense?
Why
like,
that works, though?
It's also me. Like, I'm going to be in between them.
But also, that's where my kids always wanted to be when we were watching movies. And since you are kind of one of my children, I think it's only appropriate. Sit down with the kids this weekend. I'm going to let you know what you can watch.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's a Parent Pickup with our friend Matt Bearden, who's going to get us excited about some new TV for the kiddos.
Yeah, some stuff that's hitting this weekend. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't do these big reviews. I found them online. But occasionally, I have a younger, and he really likes to do family movies on the weekends, so I do check this stuff out. Coming out, some of these have been out this week, some have been are coming out just this weekend. This one people seem to be excited about. Knuckles is a new TV series that picks up where the movie Sonic the Hedgehog 2 left off. I know that for most adults, that is a weird setup for a series.
Well, I think it's Knuckles from the Sonic video game. He's an old UFC prize fighter. He ends up being asked to be to work at a bar down in Florida, and he's the door guy, essentially.
Wait a minute. You're thinking of Roadhouse.
Never mind.
Roadhouse. Yeah. But very similar. Very, very similar. The character, his name is Knuckles. And I got to say, I just think it's a weird setup. He's voiced by Idris Elba, which I think is kind of cool.
Okay.
Because I love Idris Elba.
Dude's got a voice.
Characters. I will say, if you got a younger kids and you care about this kind of stuff, there's mild language in it, like suck.
Are we talking about video game characters?
And freaking.
Sorry, I just walked in.
Yeah, we're talking about Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog.
The movie.
He's got his own show. It's
a show.
Six. I believe it's six episodes that you can see.
It's kind of crazy. Idris Elba, because I don't know. I'd never imagined Knuckles being voiced by just this really deep voiced, powerful looking dude.
Yeah. Well, he's doing it. Paramount Plus is where you're going to find that. Like I said, I guess there's some parents that they get worried about certain mild language. I don't. But luckily, I've used all the coarse language in the household, so my kids think that that's a real reprieve going into a movie.
If you're one of those parents, just have your kids start watching Shogun so they can learn Japanese and be educated at the same time.
If you're like me or maybe CJ's age growing up, I think Sonic and Knuckles was one of the coolest games that came out at the time, so Knuckles was like such a rad
character. I don't remember Knuckles.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This one is getting really good reviews, and I'm excited about it. Both my kids probably looked over. I doubt they got read too hard, but it's considered to be something for end of elementary, middle school, Spiderwick Chronicles. Did you guys ever read the Spiderwick Chronicles books by any chance?
No. Yeah, that's the one where there's a spider who's a really good assassin, but he gets out, and then they kill his dog and steal his car, and then the Spiderwick goes to the Spider Continental.
Wait. I'm sorry. That's John Wick. You're thinking about
John Wick.
Very close, but I just missed it.
It's got to be played by Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. It's there's tension in this, jump scares, monsters, all kinds of cool stuff. Some kids, I guess, they say, could get a little weirded out by some of it.
Can you stream it?
Yeah,
on World Wide Web?
All of these things. This one you can stream. It is on, I want to say it's Roku. Yeah, it's a Roku channel where you can find it right now. And anyway, if you have kids that don't really like scares, may not be into it. 8 episodes you can get in that one. And one last one I want to tell you about, and it is called Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
Oof.
Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
This is where essentially you have a guy who is raised on a planet, and then he's like, oh, man, they killed my aunt and uncle. And then this old dude's like, hey, your father is actually a badass rebel.
Well, this is Zack Snyder's Star Wars, basically.
You're thinking of Star Wars is what you're thinking.
I watched the first Rebel Moon, couldn't get super into it.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I got to tell you what. Kids
like it?
Kids see stuff way differently than adult brains
do. I didn't know it was a kid thing.
I would say teens. Teens and above.
It's like PG-13.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know it was PG-13, so there you go.
It's available on Netflix. You're going to have a lot of other stuff in there, like because there's actual cursing. I know there's a warning on it that says, hey, parents of some children may want to be aware that adults appear to be drinking alcohol in one scene.
In
this one review for, like, kids. Guess what? There's going to be adults drinking alcohol on the sofa next to my kids. Well, we watch these dumb movies.
Yeah,
because there's...
But anyway, that's just a rundown of a couple things you might want to see that are getting good reviews from other kids in order of age appropriateness. And I'm throwing that out there because sometimes, man, oh man, is it hard to find something to watch
with the kids. Oof. It is rough. Hey, Dad, watch this YouTube clip. I'm going to replay it 8 times in a row for you.
Yeah, and you can't exactly put on Love Island or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you can.
My friend Nick from 102.7 ESPN's here. We're going to do a super sports segment. But Nick, before we get into sports, because before you were just all the time on ESPN, used to be on 101X, and the subject of the pool parties that we do came up this summer.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
And I was like, hey, we should have Nick and I host those again. And they're like, well, Nick's not on the station. I was like, yeah, but... And they're like, don't you want like Bailey or Alex or one of the ladies to be your co-host? I was like, I don't know, man. Nick and I had fun getting shirtless and riding the same raft together too much.
The homoeroticism of a Nick and CJ pool party is palpable.
Full display.
That was my favorite part, seeing the photos and being there.
Look, we who says the pool parties have to be for straight dudes, all right?
Yeah.
Let's get some man beef out there.
Well, let's get some two bear boys going.
That's right.
And now let's man beef our way into sports.
For the record, though, if I had the option of doing a pool party with Bailey or Alex or one of the ladies here, I would pick them over you, CJ. So sorry.
My bad. Betrayed.
Wow. Yeah. But you can come in. I'll put you on the list. Plus one.
See, you don't get it because then you're hanging out with the female coworker who's going to C-block you. Whereas if you and I are out there peacocking and acting goofy, all the ladies at the pool are going to be like, oh, they're funny and cute.
Oh, especially with my new soda weight loss body.
Yeah, I know. You don't get out of work it, man. Anyhow, you know who does know how to work it? Xavier Worthy. Let's start with that before we get into our bets. Dude, going to Kansas City for him, I'm excited by this. He is a speed demon. He is going to be playing with Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to be coached by a pretty good, lenient, but instructful father of a coach. Because my problem with Worthy at times is he just seemed lazy. Not last year, but the years before, he wasn't getting out there in blocks. You would see him kind of walking around on plays he wasn't involved in. What do y'all think about him going to the Chiefs in the draft?
It is... I was saying going into this that I liked him ending up on the Dolphins because they know how to utilize speed. But that's just because I didn't think he would make it to the Chiefs. So, like, but that, I mean, you get to catch passes during the prime of Patrick Mahomes' career. We saw what that looked like with Tyreek Hill. You saw what that looked like without him. And I think Xavier Worthy, he can do the speed thing, but he also has incredible hands. He is a complete receiver. A lot of people are down on him. I like Xavier Worthy. And it's not just the Mahomes aspect and the need for the Chiefs. But Andy Reid is creativity. He is going to figure out some plays for Xavier Worthy where he can get some carries out of the backfield, yeah. Some yak stuff. It's going to be really good.
And he's going to Sherpa because he's getting the yak stuff. And he's a good coach for a guy like Xavier Worthy. Yeah. And I think, like, getting out of the... Like, dude, I feel bad for Caleb Williams going to the Bears. Like, if you just go to an ass franchise. But for him to end up in the Chiefs... Like, he's gonna have 1,000 yards
well,
in his
look,
first year.
And I know that there have been some kind of maybe wide receiver diva like tendencies for Xavier Worthy in the past.
I didn't see that last year.
Not last year. I mean, yeah. Look, when you bring in a freshman quarterback like Quinn, I understand why he might be like, "What is this guy? What am I doing?" But I like Xavier Worthy, and also just if there is a concern about that or needing some extra attention, I mean, the Chiefs kind of know about, you know, they handled Xavier Worthy pretty good. Tyreek Hill pretty good, so it's a good spot if there are some potential character concerns. Not that I'm really worried about that behavior.
And he was the second Longhorn taken, I believe, in the first round. More Longhorns coming up. More draft stuff. I think you have a bet that has to do with the draft. Let's get to that.
Betting. Because one of the things now, the Buffalo Bills, they are on the clock for the second round tonight. They have the first pick there. Obvious need at wide receiver. So my first question for you and Matt is, will they take Adee Mitchell with that first pick, or will Bills Mafia be jumping through folding tables out of frustration?
I don't think they take him.
All right.
I wish you would. What do you think, Matt?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Matt just looks confused.
You're way over my head. I've never watched a draft. It's but I'm learning a lot by watching you guys.
Well, good. Good.
Adee Mitchell probably be a late second round pick. I do like him.
See, I mean, look, there are a lot of people that thought that he's like the fourth best receiver out of the big three. Like, people like him a lot. He's a clutch player. His biggest catches were the biggest games.
I liked watching him more during games than Worthy. No offense to Worthy at all.
I completely agree.
I liked him as a more fun player, and I thought someone I could was a bigger trust. So I would like to see him go somewhere.
I would like to see him go to the Bills because then you get to watch Xavier Worthy against Adee Mitchell going at each other, hopefully in the playoffs for AFC championships and whatnot. Like, you're going to see them in, like, Chiefs is already fun, and now we've got Longhorn interest in there.
And Buffalo has a lot of good car dealerships, and so there's probably he could land some, or, you know, get some remotes and some endorsements. So I like that for him.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not a problem after the Texas NIL program.
You know what is a problem? We're out of time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
See you later.
We have more betting to do because, Nick, you came in here. You brushed your teeth. I assume that hair's been combed.
That's right.
Okay. Let's come back and do more sports. Let's make some more bets in sports. Nick from 102.7 ESPN's joining us. Got a couple shows there. And, you know, you started here at 101X, so we always welcome you back. Matt and I pretty even this year as far as winning weeks. But let's see who wins this week. Let's get back to it.
All right, continue our second bet. Your Dallas Stars, they are unfortunately down 0-2. Yes, against the Knights of Vegas. They have to get their first win of the series on the road this Saturday. Do they do so?
Here's the worst part for the Dallas Stars. No, they don't.
I'm sorry to agree with Matt, but I don't think they win game three on the road.
And it's a bummer, too, but... Because sometimes the home team will let down a little bit when they've got that two up on the road. I don't think it's going to happen, and I think it could be a full sweep right here. I hate rooting for any kind of ice hockey team from the desert.
That's brand new as well, yeah.
And cheaters with their whole salary cap manipulation.
They also have to rollerblade there, so it's kind of not fair for for Dallas. Let's move on to our next one.
All right, your Longhorns are on the road with the baseball team against the Sooners for a pivotal three-game series this weekend. that has major Big 12 connotations, whatever the right word is. However, the weather calls for strong winds. So two-parter here, three-game series. How many will the Longhorns win?
One.
Okay, one for CJ.
I think they'll get two.
All right. I mean, the 2-1 is a good prediction. They've done that in all their Big 12 series except for that first one.
That's how I feel good about it. Here's the thing, though. I think one of the games gets canceled.
Okay. Because of the weather?
I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there so it sounded like I knew something.
Well, look, the Longhorns have, like I said, not had a win on Friday night. So they might just say, hey, let's just go ahead and call this thing off and we'll see you Saturday and Sunday at full strength. But also just fun. I want to know wind gusts predicted for the forecast? What will be the top wind speed recorded this weekend in Norman?
69.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 420 miles an hour.
You know what? I thought you were going to zig and you zagged. Good job. Win there, but no, you chose the comedy. I always appreciate that.
I got a couple of bets I want to throw in for Austin FC because LA Galaxy, one of the, they started off pretty fast, one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and the return of our man, Diego Fagundes. Let's start with this, Matt. I'll let you go. Austin FC at home against the LA Galaxy. Win, loss, or draw?
Draw.
Draw for Matt. I'm going to go ahead and I'll say loss. I'll say this is going to be a loss. Next thing, Diego Fagundes, who we've kind of been in a slump since trading him. Things might have been a little better. He wasn't the captain, but he's the face of the team. He took our corners. He took our extra kicks.
We loved him.
When he returns to Austin as an LA Galaxy member, is he going to have a goal, an assist, or none of the above?
I'm going to go none of the above.
You're going to go NA? This is tough because of the smart bets NA. But to make it interesting, I'll say he gets an assist. Why not? He's at home. His old home.
So NA versus 1A.
Yep. There we go. Hey, thanks for talking sports with us, everyone. Let's get back into our in-depth coverage of the NFL draft. We're now in round two. Oh, sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
What are you talking about? That's insane. This is great. Put it in my veins. Snort it. I'm so tired from staying up late this morning, but it's the best kind of tired to the NFL draft, and there is hope for the Cowboys.
Is there?
Oof. I mean, technically.
Okay.
Isn't there hope every year? That's what I hear from friends
hope
and
every
family.
Year, but at least, you know, we can probably not get as disappointed by the Cowboys because what the Falcons did, drafting a quarterback after signing a quarterback for 4 years. Not just a really good quarterback, but a quarterback that has had two season-ending knee injuries, one season-ending shoulder injury, and is like already 35 years old, and Michael Penix Jr. I don't know. So the Cowboys won't catch as much shade. Last bet, will the Cowboys catch shade, Matt?
No.
No? Okay, interesting.
Yes,
let's see. My DNA prank failed spectacularly yesterday, and I want to apologize to my coworkers. I guess when I'm not bouncing around the office as much as I used to doing zany pranks, it becomes new to some people and uncomfortable. If you wonder what the DNA thing was, do you remember yesterday was National DNA Day?
Yeah, you pretended to spill a urine analysis cup on our good friend, Mr. Spencer Williams.
Yeah, I have a cup. It's one of the ones, if you have to drug test, that you use.
Yeah, it looks very official.
It is. It's very official. I grabbed it from one of those places once, and I've used it as a prank. And yesterday I thought, I'll go back in the office where the kids sit and mess with them. And I really pissed off one of our coworkers and friends, and I felt super bad.
Did you really?
Yeah, I could tell.
It wasn't me this time?
I could tell she was mad and annoyed, but trying to be cool about it.
Uh-oh, is
but
she?
I felt, yeah, dude. And here's
a problem that you don't know about yourself. Do you know that you've aged out of, you're now in the category of dude who gets called up to HR, and you've forgotten that about yourself because you still think that you're hilarious, fun 25-year-old CJ? But you're not. You're 40-year-old CJ who has a fiance in a house. And so the 20-something women that work in the office, you're going to start getting in trouble, bro.
Yeah. Well, I did write a note and apologize in a scroll. And I said, please don't tell HR.
Wait, in a scroll?
That I put my DNA on you.
You still had to make it a little silly. You did it in a scroll.
In a scroll.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was more official that way. Well, here's what happened because I have that little DNA cup that I used to mess with Spencer and Lucas, the coworker that brought it. He thought I was messing with him, And so I was texting him during that segment, and I was like, no, dude, it's to get Spencer. It's to get Spencer and Matt. Like, it's, and it's just water. Anyhow, what I do with the cup is it's got water inside, and I'll loosen the lid, and I'll get it a little wet. So the whole bit is I hand it to someone, and it's wet.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. And
the
it's
whole
a,
bit
it's,
is you think you're touching your urine.
It's a whole, and it's clear water inside. But anyhow, I thought it would be funny to toss it to our coworker and my former roommate and our dear young friend Miranda. And I got it wet, like I ran it under the sink, and I tightened the lid. I didn't want it to spill, but I ran it under the sink.
Oh, man.
And
you
I
got
was like,
warm water under
I was
the
like,
sink?
Hey,
didn't
Miranda,
you
got, catch.
Dude.
And I threw it towards her, and here's where the prank went wrong, is I guess, like, some of the water had accumulated in the lid, so it, like, splashed all over her in the face. Like, it wasn't just tossing a wet container. I essentially shot her with the squirt gun. Like, and it hit her eye, hit her face, and then she caught the thing, and then she looked and realized what it was, and so she was grossed out, man. And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Like, it was not good.
Yeah, obviously. I don't think the scroll is quite enough here, buddy. You might need to consider doing something a little bit more.
I'll come to his defense and just say that he did live with Miranda for a while. There was a group of people from the office here all lived in one of these houses back here.
Yeah.
She's used to the fact that you're an idiot. So. Yeah.
She is, but I still felt really bad. And then another one of our coworkers, she was down there, and I handed it to her, and she just dropped it and was grossed out. And then Lucas was explaining, like, yeah, CJ wanted me to bring that studio to one, going to do it. And then this other one who I tried to hand it to, she's very young and new here, and she goes, yeah, CJ, because you're always doing pranks. We never know when you're serious.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, they do still know I'm always doing zany pranks. But you got to be a little more careful.
Well,
I
you know what that line means. We don't know if we can trust you, CJ.
I know. That's why I can't be the boy who cried wolf. I got to have a prank-proof code word to know when I'm not pranking.
Okay.
That's the problem, though, is then people will be like, well, what's the code word? And if I don't say it, they'll know I'm pranking them. If I do say it, then they'll know I'm about, then I'll be a liar after I prank. What? It's a tough world. How are you supposed to work in the office these days?
Am I not pranking? You're all, maybe just putting a bunch of Post-it notes over their computer.
Maybe doing some work here occasionally.
That okay. is a good prank.
Good point.
Confuse them.
Do some work. So are you saying my whole bucket of props I have, I should get rid of?
I don't know about that. But
I've got a storage container downstairs filled with hats.
I recommend just not walking down there with your thumb in between your fly and wiggling around.
I don't
around.
Do that. Okay. I don't do
I
that.
I think you need to stick with your graduating class. That's the thing, is that there's a whole, you know what I mean? Like, your graduating class you can hang out with and do these things with.
But, dude, I've been through so many grad classes here. So many.
Some of them have moved upstairs.
Yeah, some of them are, like, at other jobs.
Some of them are literally in management.
Yes.
Because that's what? They showed up here and did work every day, and they passed everybody up.
Was it a local fire or a meth lab? No more gender bender teachers. And guess what? Weird, wacky weather's on the way. And guess what? All those protesters they arrested, they're not charging them. They're not. Let's start with that, and then we'll get into the weather. There's not enough probable cause to charge all 57 protesters arrested Wednesday at the University of Texas campus. D.A. Garza letting more criminals go. He's D.A. Garza. He made hobos.
No, it's a different.
Oh, yeah, it totally is, even though that's what everyone's saying online.
Well, it's the same last name. That's an issue.
good point.
It's confusing.
Travis County D.A.
Another Garza. They got to close the border.
Well, they're never. I will tell you this right away. If you're going to a protest with the intention of not getting arrested, I don't really think you're protesting correctly.
Yeah, like,
that
you're kind of a wuss.
Part of it.
Don't do it also, on a Friday, though. Don't do it on a Friday.
You can stay in all weekend.
Yeah, if you've ever been to the good old pokey like I have, do your stuff on a Wednesday at best, because you won't see the judge until Monday morning.
Yeah, magistrate sleeps in.
Unless there is something else happening at the protest, generally speaking, the arrest is really just removing some folks
detaining.
From the protest.
Yeah.
Detaining, you'll get out, and generally charges will be dropped. Or sometimes a DA will talk to you and try to get you into some kind of plea thing. That's stupid. Just say no, because they're not going to take you to, they're not going to actually go all the way to court with it.
What sucks with those is usually you kind of get your ass beat around the protest. And I know people are like, nah, the cop, they don't do that. Dude, I'm not going to say his name. We have a friend who's a prominent stand-up comic in Austin that when he was put into the, what we would used to call a paddy wagon with other protesters, they fired pepper spray at him while he was in the confined closed space. So that the arrested getting arrested sucks. It also hurts. They really tighten those cuffs.
Yeah, I know.
You know what they really don't like, I've learned? When you take the cuffs and put them around and pull them out front because it's more comfortable.
Yeah, no, they don't like that.
Yeah, I got in trouble for that, boy. I got in trouble.
Don't do that.
So there you go. That's happening. Speaking of small government Greg Abbott, remember he was elected in the big whole Tea Party thing when it was like, small, no government. He's like, yeah, that's me. Small government Greg Abbott is telling us that he doesn't want any more, I guess, gender neutral, whatever, Texas teachers. Tried to find the article, but it's been updated and moved. You can see it at KXAN.com. But he's tired of these...
a gender-neutral teacher.
whatever. He's tired of all these dang old drag queen teachers.
Okay.
Can I just put it that way?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not a news station, so we can say whatever we want.
Yeah, I'm not going to dive in. I just want to point out that this is small government and Greg Abbott, once again, not small governmenting. Which he never really has. In fact, if you, the Texas Tribune has a great article about the liberal Texas Tribune. Very not liberal. They have a great article about how he's been one of the most, not the word authoritarian, but one of the most empowered and controlling governors, not just in Texas, but in the United States, in the recent U.S., which is funny because the governor's office of Texas was created without what, Matt?
Power.
Without a lot of power.
Yeah. It is kind of odd because we were widely known as having the weakest governor's office in the 50 states. And that has certainly changed.
It was more of a
quote from Abbott himself. In Lewisville, Texas, just a month ago, they had a high school teacher who was a man who would go to school dressed as a woman. So he's trying to end...
That's not what he sounds like. That's not his accent.
Oh, I don't know. I was just...
he sounds more like this. Well, Tex!
Obviously, it's not me saying it, so I'm just trying to do something. So he's just trying to get people to not conform to their identity, I guess.
Yeah, no, I guess, trans teachers.
I guess I was just trying to figure out what's going on. So I was like, let me find this article real quick. But yeah,
that sounds real nice, and he's standing
oppressive.
Up for what's right. And Matt, if we were to go into Greg Abbott's butcher shop, what would he be serving us?
Red meat.
A lot of red meat, which would be delicious to barbecue this weekend. However, we're going to have some bad weather.
Oh?
How's that news transition to something
excellent.
Lighter?
I was just
and
about
then,
to
And
ask.
Then you toss it to the weather guy. That's right, Donna. we are currently under some tornado warnings. Watch.
Watch.
Watch is the lesser one. Warning's
warning
the bigger
means
one.
You actually see it. We haven't seen it yet.
The Hill Country is going to have some severe weather in our area on and off.
I believe there are some news stations that have been like, a watch means you have all the ingredients to like make a taco.
A warning.
But a warning means the taco has been made and it's out there.
Which is important. It is confusing. So I think that's important to say and let people know that. So... be careful. In the last story, there was a local fire at a house in Austin. They were still investigating last I checked, but it kept having stuff blow up, which they thought was propane tanks. And I was like, that's going to be meth lab, right? They're cooking.
Right.
They're cooking now, aren't they? It was in a neighborhood. I didn't get to investigate that one more, but don't worry. Hey, what do they say in the news? We'll keep an eye on it for you.
They also say, just ahead.
Your kids might die. Tune in.
You know what they never say in the news? There's more where that came from.
You like that, bitch? Radio's still cool and still making dreams happen.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. Let's take a look at the internet, and radio is going viral thanks to a star all the kids love, Jon Bon Jovi.
Yes, the kids love Jon Bon Jovi.
Absolutely. That's why this topic is going off, because he thanked, when he was getting inducted in the Hall of Fame, thanked some radio DJs.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm going to be honest, this is only going viral in radio circles, where we're kind of patting ourselves on the back.
Is that what's happening?
We're still relevant.
But it is kind of cool, and this also comes recently after Sting once again brought up Austin and our sister station. I used to be on Matt is still on KLBJ.
Except he still refers to it as WLBJ.
Does he really?
Anytime he talks about it. KLBJ was the first United States station to play the Police. It broke them. Made them pretty big. But he still refers to it as WLBJ in Austin.
WLBJ.
That's East Coast, right?
But it's cool he talks about that. And I guess during the speech, Jon Bon Jovi, who, listen, just... We kind of taught you earlier about the difference between tornado warning and tornado watch. Jon Bon Jovi... he's cool. He's giving you a taco. John Cougar Mellencamp, he's bitching about you having a taco. You know, one of them's cool, one of them's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, did y'all see him recently? Sorry, Mellencamp, like, bitching at people on stage.
Yeah, always. But both of those guys are literally in the garage with your dad. That's a that's kind of a thing about both of them.
Maybe even Grandpa, dude. Yeah, it might be that old. Anyhow, he remembered where he came from and thanked a couple of disc jockeys for playing his tunes.
And I said, who's the loneliest man in the music business? The DJ. There was a new radio station in New York City.
W-A-P-P.
W-A-P-P. And fortunately for me, a young guy by the name of John Lastman and a guy named Chip Hobart, who was the DJ on the air, played him Runaway. And he said,
okay, I didn't know this was like edited into some magical package.
It's like a documentary.
I don't know what the hell that was.
W-A-P-P. Wet ass. Pee-pee.
Yeah, that's that's what the radio station stands for.
That's a hit song.
Okay, you know what? I really thought he thanked them during a speech, but no, he's just remembering something, and they got excited and took it. But hey, radio's still cool.
I know, but it would have been so much better if he just said, like, you know what I mean? I would not have been here had it not been for the doctor and bandwagon. You know what I mean?
Like over on the Chuddy 2.7.
I wanted him to have some kind of ridiculous names. Like, hey, if it hadn't been for Buck Thrower and the doggy.
Well, in my early days when I was coming
Sud Boy and Bean Bean.
When I was coming up with nicknames for my alter ego, I would call like other stations. I would prank call their stations because, you know, there are guys like Ed Zeppelin and everyone had Steel with an E at the end.
Yeah.
And just two first names. but, you know, it didn't work as well because I learned like, oh, no one is at the radio station at night to do this. But, you know, radio is so cool. Speaking of relevant, I have another clip of probably who's the biggest celebrity, I guess, one of the biggest names in media right now, also talking about how great radio is.
Because when I hear people that are still doing radio, I'm like, oof.
There is something, like, I was in a couple towns, Columbus, Ohio, Denver even, where they have a strong terrestrial radio thing,
mm-hmm,
station that's popular.
Austin does. CJ Morgan.
Cool.
Right, and it's live.
Yeah, so there you go. That is, you know, love him, hate him, dislike him. Joe Rogan's one of the biggest names in media.
That's cool, man. We should try to wrangle him up
for
our show since he's aware of you and knows who you are.
Not a bad idea.
That's great. That's good editing, by the way, on your part.
Mm-hmm, what do you mean?
Well, that's a clip of him talking about my
Jay Morgan.
Cool.
My old show on KLBJ, but you changed it to have your name.
I didn't hear Matt Bearden. I heard
CJ Morgan. Cool.
Yeah, very clear.
Interesting.
Clearly that he rolled right off the tongue.
Let me get where he says Austin.
Does. CJ Morgan. Cool.
He didn't even finish saying that.
And says I'm cool.
How long did it take you to go and find enough syllables to put that together?
It's popular.
Austin does. CJ Morgan.
I do love playing that.
Is that Tom Papa that he's talking to?
Yeah, it's Tom Papa.
How many episodes did you have to comb through to find all those syllables?
I'm going
to
be honest. I made this before Rogan really started to kind of suck ass around 2017. But not that many. All I did was I looked for an episode where the last guy's name was Morgan, and I looked through an episode where he's interviewing someone named CJ. I just had to go through the intro and find him saying it. It was great. Anyhow, give it up for the biggest name in radio, according to Joe Rogan.
It's popular.
Austin does.
CJ Morgan. Cool.
How did wolves become dogs?
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
It's weird. It's wired. Wolves, they're our puppies. They're our friends now. They're
not
so sweet.
Here's the thing you have to remember. Wolves are not sweet, and they're not puppies, and they're not our friends.
They're a wolf scruff boy.
No, there's the thing where people forget, and they think that wolves are kind of like our friends or whatever. They're not. You ever stood next to a wolf? You ever been close to a wolf?
They're massive.
They're giant. They're scary. And they're mean.
Enormous.
Yeah.
They're enormous. And I had no idea. Whenever I saw wolves, because mainly what you see a lot of times in movies would be hybrids. And when you hybridize a wolf, it does shrink them down quite a bit. If you're next to a wild wolf, if you ever get an opportunity, It's stunning.
Dead. Yeah,
it's a pony. It's a pony.
I was gonna say, you could almost ride one.
Yeah,
like, they're
it's
big, dude.
Nuts.
And they hunt in packs. Like they will kill you in weird ways that will drive you. They're very smart. Like you remember the Velociraptor scene in Clever Girl?
Yes.
That's based on pretty much wolves.
Well, let's get into something here. First of all, wolves and dogs not that far apart. They share 99.98% of their DNA. It's insane. There's such a slight difference. There's less than a booger's worth of difference between a dog and a wolf. But you have completely different behaving animals just because of that little bit of change. So people for a long time have wondered, how did wolves become dogs? We talk about domesticated. There are kind of two schools of thought here. One
they,
is
they
that,
hung out by campfires looking for free food.
Hey, well, man. One is that humans slowly started to domesticate wolves.
Yeah.
And they became dogs. And that's what I thought for a long time. There's another school of thought, which I now lean into heavily, which is that wolves domesticated themselves into dogs. And it makes a lot more sense.
They say that a lot about cats, too. They domesticated themselves intentionally because they saw, you know, benefit of being
when you got humans. Humans together, one of the things that we forget about because we have trash service now is that humans create a whole lot of waste.
We do a lot of waste.
Oh, and yeah. So even when you go back 20,000 years ago, kind of when we think we started first domesticating animals, 20,000 years ago, not a huge amount of time as far as Earth is concerned. We would have been, even in small tribal communities, would have been creating a large amount of waste and probably wouldn't have wanted it in the middle of our huts, caves, teepees, whatever we had at the time. So we would have created a trash mound somewhere. Wolves slowly would have been relying on that. And some of those wolves would have
started following us around because they learned, hey, this is free food.
Well, here's a crazy thing that we're learning is that wolves and dogs, the major difference in them is really in puppyhood when they're really, 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 really young, right? And at around 4 weeks, a dog, are you ready for this? A dog has this really important time in their life where they become socialized and they learn who their friends are or whatever. That's why it's important to have a puppy around a cat if you have a cat in your house during that time.
Or your kids.
Or to get it socialized with other dogs.
Other dogs, yeah.
Here's something I didn't know. There's this weird period of time where a puppy has no fear of anything. It has no enemies. It doesn't understand enemies. Everything is its friend.
That's why when someone's dog nips at a puppy, you're supposed to be like, yeah, let it happen.
Right.
That's teaching them not
that time,
to do
right?
stuff.
Okay. And it turns out at around 4 weeks, all of their senses are kind of going. Their sight, their smell, touch, taste, everything's happening. So they're taking you in as a human or a cat or anything in this safe zone. They're being able to take you in with all their senses. Here's where we think the difference is with wolves. It turns out that wolves may actually come into this zone of friendliness. Really, the only sense they have highly developed is smell at the time. They've come into this a little bit earlier than a dog does. And so a wolf, while they might become friendly, it's when they're really smelling. But as they start to develop, suddenly they can see more. When they see more, humans look horribly scary to them because we look very different than what would be the other wolves.
Like, what is
we sound different, our voices they start to bring that in. So it makes it harder for them to fully imprint with us. That's why, you know, in a group of wolves, even if you have them trained, if you have an injury, you're not supposed to enter their pen or holding area. They will sense that you have an injury. Even if it's like a pulled muscle in your arm,
Coyotes are great at that.
And they can surround you and hunt you and kill you, and even if they see you as a friend.
And there's no tactic to fight off wolves because, like, big cats, sometimes bears, different animals,
they'll evaluate
whether it's worth me taking down this prey or not.
I don't know, man.
Wolves don't care. They will die eating you.
Liam Neeson took down some wolves in that movie, The Gray.
That was a movie.
Yeah.
That was not a documentary.
Okay.
So that's the interesting thing they're saying is they think that is the big change right there, and that at some point in this 20,000 years there may have been a few wolves who happened to come into this zone a little late, and as a result they started to imprint better with humans, and that first little clutch of wolves would be the ones that eventually domesticated.
Wolves used to mess up my villagers when I was playing Age of Empires.
I
hated
them.
Happened. They're
sorry
scary.
Happened.
Anyhow, look at Pepperoni. She used to be a wolf.
Oh,
look
God.
At her.
That dog. Oh.
Did you know Matt internet, teach us how to know things.
Did you know is a little thing that we do from the internet. And guess what? Everything that we say during Did You Know is true. You know how we know? It's how you know how you know. Oof, boy, words on a Friday are difficult. Do you know how you know that what we're saying is true?
Yeah.
Because we say, did you know beforehand? Did you know during the peak of Ebola news in 2014, people started to avoid Liberia Airport in Costa Rica because Liberia is a country in Africa. So not everybody's smart, and some people don't understand geography. People did not want to fly into Liberia Airport because they were reading that there were Ebola cases in Liberia, not realizing that they're two completely different places.
Hey, that's why when I went on my honeymoon to Paris, I was very disappointed that I was in Paris, Texas. Mm. Actually, I wasn't. That's where that movie was.
Sounds like it's a lot cheaper, you know, and probably a lot nicer.
You know what? It wasn't.
Did you know? Diet Coke is 99% water.
That's
and 1% diet.
Also, Coca-Cola, 90% water. I guess, you know what?
So it is healthy.
Most drinks, mostly water.
Yes, because it's carbonated, then there's a little bit of caramel.
Take that off the list.
And then there's a little bit of, you know, other stuff.
Take that off the effing list.
So I feel better about all the Coca-Cola I've been drinking lately.
Here's a little better one, then.
Okay,
Did you know? Pringles are technically not potato chips. They are molded out of powdered potato, wheat, and other additives.
Delicious.
I did know that. I can tell by the texture and the taste.
Not a Pringleman myself. Mm-hmm. Not a Pringleman. They're okay, but
they're around, but I don't buy them.
Here's the only reason I like Pringles, because I will only eat a few. Whereas if I have a bag of chips, once it's open, that bag is gone.
Yeah.
No matter what the size. Did you know? Drinking and eating. Speaking of that, there are only a few countries in the world where the drinking age is as old as 21, including right here in the U.S. Most commonly, it's 18 in a lot of places. 21 in the United States because the lobby back in, I think, Louisiana, Texas, and a few other areas stayed 18 longer.
Yeah.
And then there was a big lobby pushing the government, and then the government said, all right, you states, you can keep it 18, but we're not going to pay for your roads to be fixed. Right. And finally we flipped.
Crumbling infrastructure.
My dad, I do believe, was one of the lucky gents that for the 3 years it was 18, he was 18. I remember him telling me that when we were younger. I don't really have an opinion on it. I feel like, you should probably wait till you can legally drink. But
I mean,
it's also like, you're drinking under 18 anyways.
This is going to make me sound like a real boomer, but there have been particular nights when I'm going to do work downtown, and I've decided that the drinking age should be like 50 or 60. Like, I shouldn't even be allowed to drink. I'm just like, make horrible decisions when we are boozed up.
The driving age is 21. The drinking age is 24.
I think 25.
Unless you're in the military, then you can drink at 18. And military service is mandatory for 2 years.
Driving age should be 35. Drinking age should be you're over her. That's when you can start drinking. You're over her.
Sounds good coming from us up here on our high horses being old as hell.
I know it does. Hey, did you know there is a video game called Earthbound? It has several anti-piracy measures in place, and I think the greatest one is that it lets you play the game if you pirated it. It knows that you've pirated it. It lets you continue to play. And then right in the middle of the final boss fight, it crashes and erases all of your save data. So you have to start all over again.
Genius.
I love game when games do that. Yeah, sometimes they'll do it.
It's so much more vicious to have you, like, it just ends and you get a kill screen that says, we know you stole this, bitch.
I didn't find anything else.
I got one.
Okay.
You want one?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes Katy Perry does stuff, and I'm like, what's wrong with her? I thought she was, like, this, like, angelic, sweet, cool pop star. And I'm like, no, she's just bizarre. And then I remember how she grew up. Did you know? Huh. Katy Perry wasn't allowed to do a lot of things when she was younger, especially eating Lucky Charms. They believe the luck in the cereal was linked to the devil. Her family also called deviled eggs angeled eggs. So she came from a pretty strict, conservative Christian. What's the word for the really, like, really hardcore Christians? Not evangelical.
My grandparents.
Matt is related to Katy Perry. How them things look, by the way.
CJ Morgan Show.
Learning brand new things daily,
including manners, responsibility, accountability, how to file taxes, how to behave in public, how to apologize.
101X.